Wednesday, Southbrook families. Hope you guys are doing well. You're all beautiful people. We are glad you're here. Yeah, we are glad you're here. Listening to For the Family right now. Another great week we have for you, right? This is like week five. We're still going. No one has said to... we should be pulled off the air, so that's a good thing.
They only knew what happened before this happens.
This is great. So, yeah, excited about a new week. We actually got to have some stage time last week to push it in front of the three services, so that was cool. We got an uptick from that, so that's great.
So again, if you're joining us for the first time, we're excited that you're here.
That's great. So, yeah, again, we're doing all of this just so we can partner with you, the family, is the best way we know how, is coming to you, sharing with you the content from the weekend before. So, obviously, today's Wednesday. We are going to be sharing with you the content from February, what is that, 9th, 10th weekend, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, and each time we come together, we'll talk on that content. You'll hear from staffers in the area. You might hear from volunteers, because it's a good way for us to introduce our volunteers to you, the ones that have so much influence and involvement with your kids and students, and also a way for us to just share like some practical things for you to do at home to carry on the conversation. Maybe that's resources, maybe that's books, maybe it's an article to check out, just a boatload of things that hopefully we can share with you that could help discussions at home to carry on what we're doing on the weekend. And as always, we have the glorious Stephen Holt, Stephen P. Holt.
D, not P,
made
D.
Made up a middle name.
I know you did.
Middle initial. So we have
Stephen Pavid Holt.
Steve Holt here. And if you don't know, Steve is our high school pastor. He is at Epic High School every Sunday night, which hopefully we'll have again some Sunday night, right, with all this awesome weather we got going on.
Pre-arranged to cancel,
right?
And then it rains all the snow away, but hey, you do what you do.
And if you don't know, this past week there was that inclement weather that started after church on Sunday and kind of built up in between that time and when Epic normally meets, which is 5:30, and so there are accidents going on, and we didn't, you know, Steve and everyone just decided it was best just to keep our students off the road and make sure just a safety reigns supreme, right?
Yep.
We want to take care of our students. Yep. So we didn't meet, but Steve, I'm excited because you tried something new this week, which was really cool. And so if you want, my man, go right ahead and jump right into it.
Well, I felt bad because we didn't, like I said, because of the snow, we didn't get to meet. But what we did is we kind of carried that over to Instagram.
Yep.
Tried to invite as many students as we could to that. And we just kind of tried to run our program through Instagram. We'd have a game.
Yeah, you did a little game with them like we would do on a Sunday night through Instagram.
Threw up a worship link for the worship time. Did the announcements, and then Jillian was our teacher on Sunday.
And for those who don't know, who's Jillian?
Jillian is our 11th grade small group leader. And sorry, Jillian, 12th grade small group leader.
It's okay, half of us.
And she's a rock star. She's been doing this a while. She's been with those girls for 6 years now, so she has done life with all of them, and they absolutely love her. So
that's a good point to share that in our ministry right now that. If a small group leader begins in sixth grade, they have the option to move up with that group all the way to their senior year.
Correct.
So Jillian has been with that group for 6 years.
And she's going to watch them graduate. So that will not, if you know anything about Jillie, she's very emotional. So that will be a very emotional night, more for her probably than them. But we love Jillian. And so anyway, Jillian sent us a 3-minute clip on what she was going to be talking about.
Yeah, because she teaches in there, right?
Yeah, she was gracious enough to do that. It was her week to teach.
That's cool.
And so we just really did a whole Epic program through Instagram. So we, you know, I don't, and so by now, I think last time I looked, there's like 165 people that watched the video. So
that's
kind of cool. And basically what she talked about is that in tough times, God works in you so he can work through you. And just kind of talked about how tough times can build your faith. Mm-hmm. We're on this whole series on Mine. It was our last one. And really talking about how our students can own their faith. And one of those ways is that through tough times. And if your student, if the rest of the students have not faced a tough moment in their life, they will eventually. Mm-hmm. And just story upon story, you've heard people that as they go through tough times, somehow God showed up in that moment. You might not know it right away when it's happening, but if you hold steadfast to your faith and to God, somehow he works through that. Right. And then we kind of use the story of Lazarus. There I go with my tongue again.
There you go. Gets in the way sometimes.
Though. Yep. Lazarus to kind of tell that story of how, you know, Lazarus dies. They sent word to Jesus and basically said, you know, the one that you love, Lazarus, has died. And so Jesus comes later to the tomb, and Lazarus, he raises Lazarus from the dead, you know, just shows us. The one key point in that story is that one of the shortest, we've all heard, is one of the shortest segments or verses of the Bible. It says Jesus wept. Mm-hmm. And so through that story, we know that God is with us in our suffering, because Jesus, God with skin on, went through that himself. He understood what it meant to love somebody, to go through a hard time. And so through that, when we as human beings are going through hard times, we need to fall back to maybe that story and think, yeah, God understands what I'm going through. God's here with me. God's here leading me through that, and I can lean on him. And the way I always like to share with students is it's kind of like a butterfly. Well, it's kind of like a caterpillar. And a caterpillar gets put in a cocoon, and things happen to this caterpillar. It's being squeezed. It's being pushed. And at some point, it comes out of the cocoon. And every bit of that butterfly coming out of that cocoon, as painful as it looks, as it's getting squeezed out, is important, because if it's not, one of the wings doesn't get formed, a leg doesn't get formed. And so, I don't know if insects have blood, but the chemicals within that butterfly, you know, certain parts don't get work. If that squeezing doesn't happen, that pain doesn't happen. So in all that, using that illustration, I mean, God, we go through pain, but God is there with us. And there's a reason for that pain. As bad as that sounds sometimes, that through that, God is there. God points us in the right direction. And at the end, as looking back at that, you can say, at least I can in my life, all the different things that I went through, is God was there in that moment, and it made my faith stronger. Right. So absolutely, that's kind of where we went with the students, and where Jillian, what she spoke about this week.
That's great. And if you don't know where that is, that's John 11, the raising of Lazarus. And there's a great point, because again, parents, if you don't know this, we talk on the same thing a lot. Like the series is that we're both in middle school and high school. It's essentially the same content, just applicable to middle school and the other one to high school, of course.
Right.
And so this message we talked on last week, and one of the key things that is in John 11 that you read that I think is advantageous for us to understand is that, so again, Mary and Martha are the sisters of Lazarus who sent message to Jesus. And that message said, Lord, your dear friend is very sick,
right?
Well, Jesus' response, which is incredible, is how we help to kind of navigate those tough times. Jesus said, Lazarus' sickness will not end in death.
Mm-hmm.
No, it happened. Now, this is key. No, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this,
right?
That even though the hardships we go through are very awful, they're ugly, they're tough,
mm-hmm.
that the way we respond to that,
right.
the way we handle that, we could bring glory to God in the midst of that, right?
Correct.
Like we can grow our faith ourselves. We can be a beacon of hope to someone else. And I just love that. But the other thing we learn in that narrative with Lazarus and the sisters is there's almost a sense that at first they're kind of upset with him, right?
Yeah, very.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
This
Where is were
your
you? Dear friend. You weren't yeah. here. And so we shared that. It's God is okay with you crying out in that.
Correct.
Right. He's not like, listen, he knows what you think. He knows your heart.
Yeah.
And he's not telling you to hold back.
Right. Jesus was a sarcastic and say, what
right.
do you mean? Come on.
Right.
I'm Jesus.
You can bring that
calm
to him.
Down.
There's
it's
that
be okay.
grief there. Right.
right.
And this was at the time where he had now passed. So they're saying he was
right.
sick. We sent for you and you weren't here. And then that, again, that's where Jesus, you know, he wept, but then he went in and did what brought glory to him and even throughout the community there, right?
Right. And because that's what it says at the end. It says that all these people came to know him.
Right.
And to follow
Not every
him
day you hear a guy that was raised from the dead right?
Right.
So that,
and the smell,
right,
wow.
That message in that community would have reverberated throughout, man, that foreseeable history there and people hearing that. So
well, we're kind of still talking about it now.
Yeah, right.
I mean.
Right. And so that's kind of what we talk about when we have these, we face these hardships, that it can be a time for us, even though it's awful, we get that. We're not taking that away whatsoever. And I even said that with the students. There's things you're here to face or have faced that it is awful, and I'm not trying to tell you to, you know, be this like perfect Christian in the midst. Right. We have to make it look all perfect. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, in the midst of that, the way you handle that could bring glory to God, your faith, to yourself, and be a sense of hope to others, right? And if you didn't get to hear last week, we encourage you to check out last week's, especially middle school segment, but I'll kind of touch on that briefly here as well while we're talking on this, that I shared with our students that we talked about them personally, like, okay, we did like this breakdown in three areas, okay, for those who have faced tough times.
Yeah, that was good.
So we went through that and we said, if that's you, here's some things to do. Remember the good times, right? Think on the things that God has blessed you with, even though it might be rough right now and an ugly time right now, adversities all around you. But think about the times where God was very much there and you had some blessing in your life.
Right.
Jump into scripture, jump into prayer, right? Find support, because in those tough times, we tend to isolate ourselves, right? Don't do that. That's where the enemy really loves to live, in that isolation, right? And so don't do that. So that was if you have experienced tough times or you're there now. The other one was maybe you're not experiencing hard times, but your friends are. What do you do in the midst of that type of setting?
Right.
And so kind of laid out with them, same thing. Prayer is the key to all of this. Be in prayer. Pray for them. Pray for yourself. Do not disappear. Because I shared that I did that when I was young. I had a friend go through some really trying times, and I didn't know what to say or what to do. And for me, because of that, it kind of paralyzed me, and I didn't show up when I could have been there.
Right.
And so to be present with your friends that are going through that, don't just disappear on them. Be there, and be there quietly, right? Listen, just listen. You don't have to bring what you think is the answer. You don't have to bring what you think is the solution. Just be there and listen, right? And so be there for them and be there in ways, instead of trying to give answers, maybe it's something you can help out with. Maybe it's a really hard thing they're going through right now. They could use help in schoolwork. Do something that could help them, if that makes sense.
Right? Yeah.
Find some things that you could help out with. And if you haven't got a friend or you haven't experienced hardship, it's going to come. It's inevitable, right? Jesus was pretty clear on that. To prepare yourself. Again, prayer, scripture, journaling, which we talk a lot about, writing down all the things that are going on around you that are great and good and from God and a blessing, that because when hard times come, we tend to think, oh, this is how life is. God's not here. We don't have anything good going on. And we tend to forget that, right? We focus on the bad and not the multitude of good that has been there. So that's kind of how we walk through that too.
Yeah. Well. I mean, and you know, thinking about that, when somebody passes away, and that's one of the main, like, I don't know what to say to them.
Right. And that's what mine was.
I'm very sorry for your loss. Mm-hmm. And that's really all I have to say, just be there.
Right.
I mean, you know.
And again, the perfect example of that is Job. Obviously the atrocities he went through.
Right.
You get also the example of the three friends he had in his life, right?
Right.
Most of the example they show is how not to do it, right? A lot of them talking to him, telling him, what is it you've done, right? Because in the Old Testament, you lived by this idea that if I did something bad, God is out to get me, right? And so what did you do? You sinned against God. But we know when Job starts, God says Job is a faithful servant, right? He is like this idea of a perfect type of, whoa, that's a crazy sound.
What was that
noise? Crazy. It sounded like a transformer going on there. That's okay. But like this idea that he was an upstanding man in the eyes of God. And even though that he was, his friends thought he did something. So they're constantly saying, what did you do? You got some sin you obviously haven't confessed before God. And he's like, no, like, you know, suffering comes to all people.
Right.
So, yeah, so that's a great example, too, of how not to be a friend, right? Is there anything you want to add on that?
I'm just glad we're able to pull it off. You know what I mean?
Right.
It was good.
Yeah, you did. That was really cool. That was a great idea, like trying to give a taste of the program through Instagram. It was hilarious. Like I was like, what's going on? I'm like, oh, this is great. The little game segment.
I don't know
there.
If it was great, but, you know,
that's cool. Nothing,
yeah, last 30
idea.
Minutes, I'm like, hey, I have this idea.
It was a great idea.
I'm scrambling to come with graphics. You know, it's great.
Right. And so, again, families, that's what went on this past weekend. Even though high school didn't get together, they did some things through Instagram, and that was a content. Jillian, who is a volunteer leader in high school, spoke. So she sent a video to Steve, and he uploaded it to the Instagram account. What's the Instagram account if anybody's interested?
It is Epic High School H. No, wait. Southbrook Epic HS is what it is.
Southbrook Epic
HS. And, right. And so if your student hasn't listened to it, they don't know anything about it, they can go on and listen to that and check it out. So
Good. All right. Well,
hey, by the way, last minute, we only have 8 spots left for MOVE this summer.
See, so the big trip, right? Yeah,
so if your student wants to go, got to get signed up ASAP.
SBEPIC.org. Man, it's near full. Mm-hmm. This is going to be an incredible trip.
It will be.
Great group of students. It's going to be a great week up there at Hope College. If you don't know what CIY is, I would tell you to search CIY. It stands for Christ in Youth. Again, a conference that's gone on for years, since I was in middle school. My gosh, it's a long time ago.
It's Eric's birthday today. He doesn't want anybody to know.
Stop.
So everybody blow him up, okay?
Right. So what, 39 today. So that's a long time
ago. That is a long time.
They've been doing it for a while. So, all right. Well, cool. Well, thanks for tuning in, high school families. We're going to transition now to middle school and what we did this past weekend. And much like Steve's, the series we're in is very similar. We wrapped ours up this past weekend. The series is called Deep. And in this series, we've been talking about the ways to go deeper in our faith, how God grows our faith through different aspects. Week one was God uses our actions, not just our knowledge of Him, to grow our faith. Week two was God uses people to grow our faith, the importance of support. Week three was God uses service to grow our faith. Week four was God uses tough times, which Steve just touched on. We did a couple weeks ago, tough times to grow our faith. And this past week, we wrapped up by talking about God uses our daily habits to grow our faith. So we really dove into this idea, and I use it from the analogy of sports. And I know there's a lot of different analogies that hit home for people. For me, it was athletics for sure, of that. For us in our faith, that Christ, we claim Christ, and we claim that, you know, he is at the center of our lives, and we want to make Him that. But for many of us, we view it almost like a game, all right? So, like, let's be honest. My son's a fourth grader. He's playing basketball. He loves games, right?
Mm-hmm.
He likes going to practice, but it's not the same thought of games.
Right.
Like, the daily grind of practice and getting in shots and working on his game isn't as fun as the big game. And so we talked about how, and in fact, we played a clip. I don't know if you guys remember this clip. It's an Under Armour clip from Michael Phelps. And we've been using a lot of the imagery of swimming and diving and all that. And Michael Phelps, obviously one of my favorite Olympians, had put this commercial together. It's just a cool commercial. I'd tell you to look it up. His Under Armour commercial, the tagline was, "What you do in the dark puts you in the light."
Do you remember that one?
Like, it's him, like, just grueling, great song playing in the background, where he's just grueling through practice late at night, early in the morning, getting weight work in. He's sweating. You can just see there's times, like, he's swimming, he's shivering. It's, like, cold out. And he's grueling through practice in hopes of, obviously, the end goal of attaining a gold medal, right, which he has a multitude of, right? And so that image was, man, again, it's much like our faith, that for our faith to grow, we have to put in the daily work in that. And that's the struggle. That's the hard times. That for many of us, we may show up on the weekend, we may come to church a couple times, and that's just the extent of our faith, right? And so for that faith to grow, it needs to be a part of your daily routines, your daily habits. And so we really drove home the importance of that this past weekend. Talked to kids about, you know, jumping into scripture, jumping into prayer. We asked the question of, what is one thing you can start doing this week to help to grow your faith? What is one thing essentially like a daily habit you can add in right now, right? We talk about scripture, we talk about prayer, we talk about service. We threw out all kinds. We had students giving feedback. It was really cool. I love getting feedback from them during our time of teaching, of some other things they can do, encouragement notes in their locker room, in lockers, anonymously, like slipping them in the lockers of other
That's
people,
cool. Yeah.
Things they could do in the cafeteria, their classrooms, on their buses, all kinds of ideas that were going around. That was really cool. And so families, if you're listening to this, man, I think many of you all know this, that daily routines are key. Maybe you know this as an adult, and for you, I would say maybe it's sharing that with your kiddos, sharing them. What is your daily routine look like as a Christ follower? Do you have daily prayer time? Do you have daily scripture? If it's not every day, maybe it's once or twice a week, something that they could they could hear from you on, like, why you do that. What, like, why is it that you make that a part of your life? Do they, can they see you doing it? I think that's a big thing. Maybe even bringing them in on it, like praying with them. Again, a key point of thing with family, a family that prays together. Remember that book, The Family That Prays Together Stays Together? Do you remember that? I think it was like back in the 90s.
Back in the day.
Back in the day is a great book. And so we try to do that a little bit with our family. And so I wanted to give you some resources actually today that I've come across in the past that I think are great for, like, especially like when it comes to scripture. Like, I know a lot of times that seems daunting and overwhelming, jumping into scripture. I always like to tell people to start with John, get in there and read the book of John. It's a great book for those starting out. And there's this thing that I would recommend to you called The Seven Arrows of Bible Study. It's a cool book. It's a great way to apply what you read. It's from Matt Rogers. He wrote a book called The Seven Arrows of Bible Study, and it helps you to, when you sit down with scripture, to take in the whole, that content in a new way. And so it's literally seven directions of arrows they use to help signify what you're doing.
Okay.
And so we'll upload this on our Facebook page. It's a good spot to bring that up. If you don't follow or like our Facebook page, I would encourage you to go do that. It's just for the family. You can find that when you search it on Facebook, and pull that up and like it. We upload our resources there that we recommend. If it's books, and I'm going to upload this today as well. And what it is it's really just a way to kind of like really personalize what you're reading, to take in everything. I'll give you just some of these. I won't go through all of them. Like, one arrow is like this circular arrow. It's what it starts off with, and it says, what does this passage say? There's an arrow that points backwards that said, what did this passage mean to its original audience, which is key. There's a passage that or an arrow that points upward. What does this passage tell us about God? There's one that points down. It says, what does this passage tell us about people? There's one that goes forward. What does this passage demand of me? Kind of like, what am I to do with this? And there's one that points in two directions. It says, what does this passage change the way I relate to people? And there's the last one that says, what does this passage prompt me to pray to God? I think it's a really cool thing that to jump in and try to figure out more about what you're reading, this is a great way to jump into whatever text you're reading. And so we'll upload that today. Maybe that'll help you maybe start somewhere. In fact, there is actually a 52-week devotional by Matt Rogers, the guy that wrote The Seven Arrows of Bible Reading, that is literally seven arrows. I think it's a 52-week devotional, if it's a great thing to start with, if you're going to check this out and try this out. The other daily habit that's key, we talk about this a lot, obviously, is prayer. And so sometimes the same thing with Bible study, it is with prayer. A lot of people, this is the one I struggle with probably the most personally, is being consistent in prayer. Because there's so many things that come into play, like of just the need for solitude when you sit down and pray, because the mind just, for me, naturally goes in 50,000 directions. And trying to sit down and block that out, it can be difficult at times, or I have to be intentional of carving out my day, especially the beginning of my day, to sit down in prayer. Steve, is that kind of, do you feel that too? Do you have like a time that you just carve out in prayer? Like, do you have to do something like that? Like, for me, I definitely do, because, man, if I don't be intentional and start off my day, I know I'll lose it, because I have awful like discipline of keeping that one intact.
Yeah, because you know me, I'm 1,000 miles and everywhere in a minute. So if I don't figure out a time to stop and know that's going to be, and sometimes it's like right when I wake up,
right,
it'll pop up on my phone. Sometimes at late at night, just before I sleep, it pops up on my phone, the scripture reading for the day.
That's great. And I'll just take some time to
read it.
Absolutely. And so, yeah, I have to be super intentional or I completely blow it. That's the one area for sure. I love jumping into scripture. I love reading personally. So it's something that I lean into easier than prayer. And so for prayer, I wanted to share with you guys as well that, man, that's the same thing. A lot of people say, I don't know what to say when I pray. I don't know what to talk about. And I know that's like this daunting thing. And so I just want to give you a acrostic that we use a lot at Southbrook. And it's simply pray. And so if it's P-R-A-Y, up and down, right? And P at the beginning is just praise. That's just telling God who he is. We're just praising him for who he is, right?
Right.
The R there is repent, and God is very, I believe that God wants us to confess, not because he doesn't know. We know that. God knows everything, right?
Right.
but he likes us confessing, much like we do that with our kids, right? We want them to fess up to what's going on. Like I say that to my kids. What did you do?
We know your hand was in the cookie jar. Right. So just tell us. We want you to tell us.
You could tell there's something there. There's the humanity of I don't want to tell you.
Yeah.
Right? There's like we constantly, even though mom and dad know it completely, there's something withholding onto that I don't want to share it. Because when I share it, it's like I am definitely taking ownership. I know I did this.
There's something freeing about it.
Right. Yeah. And so they hold on to it. And so much like us with God, I think, he wants us to confess. And I see that picture in the garden a lot, right? When he comes walking and asking them, where are you? What did you do? Like he doesn't know.
Right.
Because I think confession's big to him. He wants us to offer that up and take some ownership in that. And so the R of pray is what that is. Repent, confess, just sharing those times where we blow it and knowing that God is faithful to forgive. We share that during the confession and ask for forgiveness and hopefully turn from that and move forward. The A in pray is ask, which is like your prayer requests, whatever that is. You offer that up to God during that time. And Y is the last one. This might be the most difficult. It is for me, is yield, which is being quiet before God.
Mm-hmm.
And now we are in a fast-paced culture, hyper-stimulated, right? Instant gratification. And so the idea of solitude and just sitting quietly.
Yeah.
Like I said, like if I just said, hey, let's just sit on this podcast for like a minute and not say a word. Literally, I think people are like, what's going on? Why is it so quiet?
Over.
Like say
it's
something, over, say something, right? Like I think that idea of just being quiet before God is a struggle. I got to do something. Because a lot of times, I think we live in a culture that you're almost condemned for taking a break a little bit, right? What do you mean you're taking a break and stopping and being quiet? Like, dude, you have stuff to do, get to work, do something. You know what I mean? Like, there's this idea that you need to be busy at all times. And I fully believe that busyness is one of the enemy's key assaults, right? He wants you constantly busy.
I have found the best time for me to pray is in the mundane things, taking a shower. God speaks to me the loudest in the shower and when I'm mowing the lawn. Like you can do a lot of praying and talking to God and listening to God while you're mowing the lawn because you have that hum going on and nothing's bothering you and everybody's leaving you alone. Like I've had the most like amazing things God tell me while I'm mowing the lawn. It's weird.
There you go.
I never taught my boys how to mow the lawn, which is a bad thing.
That
but it's a riding
you
mower,
wanted
so
that
it's
time.
Good.
No, that's
yeah,
good.
It's good.
Want that time.
Right.
That's great. And so, yeah, that's a great practical thing. Find ways to like the things you're already doing, how can you take hold of that, leverage that, and maybe use that for a time of prayer? Maybe it's driving in the car. I don't know what that is. And so that's what we really emphasized this past week, our daily habits. Man, it's in the practice, right? Our faith grows in the practice that it's not just coming on a weekend, coming once a week. Like there's no relationship there.
Right?
I say that all the time. If you're in a relationship with someone and you communicate once a week or see them once a week, I would probably say you're not in a relationship.
I have a new boyfriend, but I don't talk much to him once a year.
I don't think that's working out too
right
well
now,
for you.
Doesn't
right?
work well.
So
at all.
Very much with our faith, we want this to grow. And like I tell students all the time, is like this: I have been there. I've been in the ups and downs, and the only thing that has mattered to me in those times has been Christ. This is my faith has been there throughout that, and that there's no way I can convey to you that this is single-handedly the most important thing you can do.
Right.
And so we talked on that this past week, and again, parents, we encourage you to jump on that Facebook page. I'm going to put up the 7 arrows of Bible reading, and many of you probably know that acrostic, but I'll throw that up there too and say this is what we kind of talked about this past weekend. And so just find some ways, you know, talk with your kids about this. Maybe you don't do this. Maybe you don't have a daily routine. And I mean, if you don't, I would encourage you to jump in on this and try to create some daily habits to help grow your faith. I have no doubt it'll be good for the family. It'll be good for you, obviously, personally, but it'll also go a long way with your family. I want my kids, even though I blow it at times with the daily habits, we're not all there. We haven't arrived. No one has arrived, right? We're all working on that. But I do want my kids to be able to see that we pray together. We pray at night together. Daddy, you know, they can see their dad in scripture reading and things like that because I think it goes a long way instead of just being ones that just verbalize it. They see it in action for sure. So that's it.
Good stuff.
Think that's it for us. Well, we also have CIY. I wanted to share that too.
Yep.
CIY Mix, which is at Cedarville. You can register for that right now at sbepic.org. Get on that. Again, it's another great week for middle school students to come together, worship, have a lot of fun. They have a good time at Cedarville. It's a great time for community as well, for our group to get together and have that time together for the week at Cedarville. Again, they live like college students for that week. It's kind of cool. They're in the dorms. They're eating.
They think they're cool.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. It is. It's a cool thing. And Cedarville really takes care of us. So it's a great week. So sbepic.org for that. Is there anything else, Steve, that we're forgetting?
We're just starting a new series this week.
Series. Yeah, big one, man. It's a big one. Absolutely. Social media tech, all of those things. We're going to be talking on for the next 3 weeks. So my goodness, families, I think you're going to want to tune into that.
Yeah,
we're
going to
have a lot of good resources. We're going to recommend not only just books for an informative piece, but books for ways to navigate the digital world, ways to put in some guardrails
right. As
a family and start to create some sort of, you know, self-control, right? Helps to instill some of those things.
Because it's like the supersonic train is heading down the track and it's already passed. It ain't time to try to get on. Like it is zooming past and it's going to be everything to get on.
Right. It's like giving somebody like a Ferrari with no brakes.
Right.
For sure. Like that thing is just, man, kids. Here's this thing that hyper-stimulates and will beckon for you on a daily basis, and you're going at 170 miles an hour, but you haven't put any brakes on this thing.
Yeah, and your parents, right. And they're on board, and the parents are sitting there at the depot station going, that thing's fast, it's going by, can't even catch up.
How did it get to that level? How do we stop this?
Yeah. And so, how do we figure it out?
We're hoping to partner with you and help out during this time, as this is everything our world is all about right now, so we're hoping to help you navigate that world.
Right.
So thanks for tuning in this week. Again, check us out, Facebook page, For the Family, and again, For the Family is available everywhere, our podcasts are available, so we'll see you next week.
See you, fams.
We'll segue here to SB Kids. All right, and so now we're going to transition to SB Kids, and if you don't know this, families, we take K through 5th together, even though there's K through 2nd and 3rd through 5th. We shared this before that they actually talk on the exact same content. So what happens in K through 2nd, like this past week, for example, 3rd through 5th to the same content. Again, it's just more tailored to K through 2nd and 3rd through 5th. But they're all talking on the same thing. And so we're putting these two together. And there's going to be times, same with high school, middle school, where we're grouped together when we talk on the same thing. So that's why the K through 5th segment is combined. And so I am super excited for this segment. Last week, if you joined us, you got to hear from a volunteer in 3rd through 5th, Miss Katie Parks. And this week, we get to hear from a man that is a key volunteer in K through 2nd. I love this guy. Mr. Eric McLannan, my man, how are we doing?
I'm good. How are you?
You're doing good. Yes, I am well. I'm excited about this.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm pumped that everybody gets to hear from you. And I mean, if they have kids at all that are connected whatsoever, I'm sure they have heard about Mr. Eric, because man, you are just a key figure in K through 2nd. My daughter loves you, and I mean, so many other kids love you. So it's cool that we get to have you on, and everybody kind of hear from you.
Yeah, absolutely. I really appreciate it. It's funny how long I've been here, but yeah, you see a lot of these kids, and they kind of become family almost.
Absolutely.
You watch them grow up in the church, like, oh, I remember when you were in my room.
That's incredible.
What are you doing in Epic?
It's a cool perspective. It's so true. And like, and even from our students' side, from their perspective, man, if you're not here one weekend. Man, everybody's hearing about, where's Mr. Eric? Where's Mr. Eric? Because, again, families, if you don't know, these spaces, K through 2nd and 3rd through 5th is getting there, almost there. But K through 2nd especially, man, the volunteers that are there almost every weekend.
No, I love my volunteer corps.
And you have a key service, right?
Yeah.
What service time are you?
My normal time is 9:30 on Sundays.
Right. So you can always find you at 9:30.
Yep. For the most part, unless, you know, I need to switch with somebody. But for the most part, that's my time slot, 9:30. And I couldn't do it without my volunteers.
Right. And that's true. Like, even though I'm on staff, I always say the volunteers and those leaders are the backbone to the church. Like this place would not exist or be able to do what it does without people like you and the countless other volunteers that pull that off on a weekly basis for us.
So, oh, absolutely. I think that completely gets lost in a church of this size. I think most people think that, you know, it's a lot of paid staff, and actually the paid staff to the volunteer staff, if we were going to fight, the volunteers are going to win, because there's so many of
take
us.
Take over, right?
Yeah.
And it's so true.
And we need them, and, you know, it's an important part to make a church like this work.
Right. And it's, it's great. So again, that K through 2nd, man, you come at 5:30, you're almost always going to see the same faces. 9:30 and then 11:30. So that's advantageous for us as a church, because it's like, Eric Eric knows almost all those kids. Like for the most part, you recognize those faces you see every week, and again, they recognize you, and man, they just flock to you and love you. So that's a
good thing. And then when you spend that much time with them, you really start to know their mannerisms. So you know when a kid's down, you know when he's having a tough week, and you get to reach out to him, hey, what's wrong? What's going on? Or you know when it's their birthday and they want to tell you, what's gone in their life.
Oh my gosh, that's beautiful, and that's like the precipice of volunteering right there. That's what we want, and that's that's beautiful. Well, and then you gave us that, so let's segue to that. Okay, Eric, tell everybody what's we got kiddos at home, right? What we got going on there?
So Eric McLennan, I have a 9-year-old at home, Lila, and she comes to this church when I have her. Divorced, but in the military, been serving here at Wright Pat, and originally from Fresno, California. Been coming to Southbrook since about 2012.
Fresno,
oh yeah.
Yeah. Fresno and Centerville, Ohio, right? Like, man, it's night and day for sure, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure.
For sure, I love that. Absolutely. Yeah.
I don't think anybody makes fun of Centerville, Ohio in movies, but Fresno is the butt of a lot of jokes in movies.
It's hilarious. So, man, so you've been a part of Southbrook since 2012, right?
Since 2012. I've been coming late since 2012, and I got involved with Southbrook Kids in mid-2014.
2014. Okay. Help people understand this, right? Because it's so funny when I share that I work with middle school, and they're like, why? Why would you want to do that? And for me, I love it. I mean, I love it. And so for you, what was it that drew you to, I think I want to volunteer? And on top of that, Southbrook Kids. Like, what was, if you could walk us through maybe the thought on that and why you wanted to do that?
Yeah, absolutely. I knew I wanted to get plugged in, right? So I just didn't know where. Yeah. And Southbrook had one of their Connect events back in the day.
Yeah.
And they had a booth for Southbrook Kids, and I've always been good with kids. As long as I can remember, I've had a knack for making kids laugh, interacting with them. I can even remember when I was in sixth grade, we had a program that we would adopt a kindergartner, and I was good with my kindergartners in sixth grade. So I've always had a knack for kids. I love babysitting, which is probably weird for a 40-year-old guy in the military. Yeah. Like, you like kids?
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, totally. So I reached out to them. At that time, it was wasn't Kathy Glista, it was the Kathy
Leeper?
Leaper, yes. Yeah, way long time ago. So I reached out to her. I did my background check, and it's been a blast ever since. Yeah.
That's really cool.
I love it. I look forward, and I can definitely tell when I've missed a couple of weeks due to trips or just taking a break. It's like, man, I miss these kids when I get back.
That's really cool to hear. Like, if you, not to put you on the spot, you can just tell me, but if there's someone out there listening thinking about it, what would you say to them? Like, why you should do this? Why you should, as Charlie always says, put your life into play, and specifically with Southbrook Kids. I know from you, I can already hear from you of the advantage it was for you to just do that. But maybe it is from your perspective of why.
Just because you don't know how you're going to impact someone else's life or your very own life, right?
Yeah.
So for me, it's a dual-edged sword. I get to serve God and Jesus's mission and help these kids understand what he's all about. But then it fills me up too,
Absolutely.
It helps me feel great about myself that I'm doing his work and, impacting these kids. So,
absolutely.
Just to get out there, a lot of people I think are probably going to be afraid of volunteering. Like, I'm not holy enough or I'm not righteous enough. It's like, man, if you knew what half these volunteers, their background
story. None of us are, right? None of us are. Yeah, even staffers,
yeah,
my
you
gosh.
You don't have to be perfect. So first of all, you got to get over that. And then just because you try one thing, if you come try Southbrook Kids and it's not your thing, go do something else. There's a million ways to serve in this church or outside this church, rather. And just find out where you can get plugged in, because you can get a lot of satisfaction from volunteering.
Absolutely. And again, when we're talking about a church our size that's this big, overwhelming on the weekend when you go into maybe an adult service and there's all these people in there. Man, service is one. It's great to serve the body of Christ. We talk about that a lot. Man, serving is key. Jesus embodied that, which we'll jump into here in a little bit. But also, it's a great way to bring that church size down to a smaller community, right?
Mm-hmm.
You've gotten to know the community that serves in SB Kids.
Oh,
the
staffs,
the other volunteers.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just from that, if I had been coming here, you know, I'm naturally an introvert. So if I had been coming here since 2012 without ever serving, you know, not that I know a lot of people here, but that SIG number would be significantly downsized if I wasn't serving. And just for the fact that I did get to serve, Southbrook Kids afforded me an opportunity to go to the Global Leadership Summit. Yeah, you know, they took care of my ticket. And so I've been to that for 2 years, and you know, that's a life-changing event.
Absolutely.
So there's things inside of volunteering that you can't even foresee, you know, that come with the job.
That's great. Man, that's cool. Great to hear that. Thanks for sharing that, Eric.
Man, no worries.
That's one of the reasons I wanted to have volunteers on here consistently, man, to hear your perspective.
Yeah.
So people hear what you're doing and K through second. But there might be people out there that are thinking about it, and they have no idea what that's like, right? Or they see like us trying to, hey, come serve. Oh, they're just trying to sell me on this, right?
Yeah.
We just know the benefit of what it's like to jump in there. So thank you for that. Okay, so let's, again, for the listeners, we're doing this to help them discover what their kids learned last weekend. Mm-hmm. So this past weekend you were on.
Yep.
You actually taught in that room.
I did.
Right? 9:30.
Mm-hmm. No,
right?
I was 5:30 Saturday.
5:30 Saturday.
Yeah, I had to switch.
Okay. So you taught the 5:30 service. So help our families understand what did our kiddos learn during our 5:30 service this past weekend. Obviously all of them the same thing, but what they learned there.
Yeah. So they did. They actually learned about service and
oh, how perfect.
Right?
Perfect,
yeah. And did that work?
Yeah, that works out
so
perfectly.
They learned about service and what it is to serve Jesus, and you know, you can go into this job and whatever, thinking you know everything, but you know, I, as the host, I learn things every day too. And you know, in the book of Peter, he talked about a letter in the book of Peter about how Jesus gave each one of us a talent. Mm-hmm. We may or may not know what that talent is, but each one of us has a talent that will serve other people.
For sure.
And you know, a lot of people think like, "Well, talent, I've got to be good at this or I've got to be good at that." Yeah. It could be anything. You could bake amazing pies and that's your talent.
I would
right?
gladly love for someone to share that talent.
Right. Absolutely. Like right now would be great. You can make an awesome cup of coffee up at the counter, whatever it is. So a lot of people, I think, get that, you know, their talent for serving associated with what they see on the outside in the volunteer community and the volunteer world. And that's not necessarily true. Mm. You know, if you're good at construction, we have the demolition rescue response team here that you can volunteer your time with.
Right, yeah, absolutely.
So we learned about service and about how each, and I tried to impress upon the kids that each one of you, and you know, pointed at all of them, has a talent, whether you know it or not,
that's great.
You know, that God gave you specifically that no one is better at than you, that you can serve people with.
Absolutely. That's great, because that's true. I mean, even we see that in middle school. We've talked on this about serving and that the importance that, yes, everybody has at least one talent.
At least.
God has given this this abundance of talents and abilities. And I share that constantly, that I talk with my kids about this, especially Braden, who's my fourth grader, and he's becoming more aware of these things. And we have those heart-to-hearts where I'm like, Brayden, listen, like, do you think God blessed you with that just for you?
Yeah.
Like, do you think God's end goal is for you to be selfish with that gift?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
No. Like, whatever that is that you have a desire for, a love for, a passion for, and you do, and you can do that well, and you love that, that God ultimately has wired that in you so you could give back with that.
Yeah.
Right?
And
it can be a multitude of things.
Yeah. I mean,
a multitude of things.
Yeah. And you could even not think you're good at anything. You know, you can be down on yourself and think, oh, I'm just a normal, boring guy. I ain't got nothing to give anybody, you know, that they don't already have. But you could be really good at your finances, at setting a budget. You could be, you know, really good at taxes. You could, like I said, really good at construction. It doesn't matter how minuscule it is. As long as you're good at it, there's somebody out there that's not.
Absolutely.
And that right there is serving, if you share that expertise or experience with somebody.
All right. That's so true. So how did you... So did you talk with the kids for, again, that's obviously, that's a young group, right, K through second, but you can never start there. I mean, there's not a young enough age you can start with trying to impress upon them. One, that God has given you talent. You are worth, you have value, and God sees that, and you get to play a part in his kingdom.
Yep.
Right? So how, is there any, like, things you gave them while you were talking about things to start looking for? Like, what could you do as a K through second grader?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Kind of right now? Like, we just, like, who's really good at cleaning your room, who's really good at helping your parents or taking out the trash, walking the dog, you know, just simple chores around the house that, you know, they might be able to take to their neighbor's house or take to their grandparents' house.
So,
you know, I'm not saying that they have to come serve with Bog. You don't have to, you know, find this giant opportunity to pin the medal on your chest. You know, you can find anything, at, you know, and serve your neighbors, your immediate family.
Right.
You know, that's how it starts, you know, planting that seed.
That's so good. And we talk about that too, that Bog, a lot of people, when they think of service, they think of these big ways of serving, which those places are needed. Man, go do that. I say that all the time. If you're family and you can go serve at Bog, do that, because nothing's better than serving as a family. Go do that.
Oh, yeah.
But like for us, and as you're sharing, and we do this with students, man, that takes another step. That's like scheduling that, finding a time to do that.
Yep.
And naturally the progression is, oh, that's too much work, I'm gonna do that.
Yeah.
Well, here's the deal. Find your daily habits, your daily things that you're already doing, that you're already there, right? And a lot of times that's school, a lot of times that's home, a lot of times that's in your community, your friends, on the bus, whatever. What can you do in that setting to serve others?
Yeah.
Like, what can you do? Like, and and we, in fact, we talked about this in this past series we ended with in middle school, that, you know, at your schools and your hallways and your cafeteria and your classrooms, at home, which is great. As a parent, I would love for my kid to have the desire to clean their room.
Yeah.
Their room,
right?
That would be a great thing. Right?
Yeah, no, and that's what I talked about. You know, it, serving your parents at home, like, you know, so your mom and dad don't have to remind you to clean your room. They don't have to say, hey, come help me clean up dinner. That's still serving them, you know, and that's taking pressure off your parents or whoever it is.
That's great.
You know, I think a lot of people, when they do think of the word volunteer, is I think their mind first probably goes to, well, that's going to be a lot of paperwork, right? I got to volunteer. I got to fill out all this paperwork and all these checks and balances. And that's not true. You can find ways to immediately serve.
It doesn't have to be this huge, elaborate thing. Like, start looking just around you, right? Just be observant of those people who have a need. That's a great way to do this. Look around and say, oh, I could help there. We even do that with our athletes, and like those who play sports. I say that all the time. Listen, you don't understand how, to the very basic of your core, you could do this. Like, whether it's at practice and that kid just can't get this play, or they can't get this, and coaches just berate them. Like, hey, I get it. Let me help you. Let me stay after. Help you. That's getting shots up. Schoolwork, academics, you know, I can help a kid out.
You can definitely help, you know, at your kid's, you know, sporting event, you know, shag balls, you know, you get up there and tell the coach, hey, man, I really appreciate you being our, you know, coach for our kids. Anything I can help out with, can I, you know, bring the snacks, bring water, shag balls, do whatever.
Yep.
You know, there's easy ways for like us in Southbrook Kids. It doesn't have to be a lot of paperwork at first, right? I mean, obviously we want our people background checked, because that's a good thing.
It's a big deal.
But
for us,
if you wanna, if you just wanna come see what we're all about first, just let us know, and we can put you in a volunteer and give you a red rope, and you come in, you see what it's all about, and see if it's even a good fit. And we're not gonna hang out to dry, right? We're not gonna throw you in a class with 50 kids and the host, and you know, good luck, bud. Thanks.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah, no, we're gonna
fire there.
Yeah,
for sure.
Exactly. We're gonna give you someone to shadow you and you know, explain, answer your questions, so you can see what it's about. And you know, then it's, there's no commitment. You serve once, fantastic, but if you serve more, great, right?
Great,
so there's no commitment just because you came and served once, and then if you don't serve again, we're not going to give you the stink eye if we see you around church.
That's good. That's a very good point. It's so true. And if you missed it, Eric shared with the kiddos about the importance of serving and looking to those in need, and their focus. If you don't know this, when they're in a series, they have a memory verse that goes along with what they're doing. They have a main point, and their main point from this past weekend was look for ways to serve others. Their memory verse, you know, their Bible verse was sitting down. Jesus called the 12 and said, anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant to all, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I share this a lot. One of my favorite passages is with Jesus in the upper room before he's arrested. You know, he's with his disciples, and he does this thing that is just mind-blowing, right? If you truly grasp that this is the Savior, Son of God, he sits down, kneels down, gets down on his knees and starts washing your feet, right?
Yeah.
If you truly grasp that, you're like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
This is countercultural. This is for slaves who do this, right? Slaves, you know, the homes would have slaves and they'd wash feet. And so we see that, and Peter responds like, you are not fit to do this. You shouldn't be doing this. And Jesus responds, this must happen.
Yeah.
And you guys would be, essentially, I'm dumbing this down, that you guys would be wise to follow my example, right?
Yeah.
And so I share it all the time that, as Christ followers, we are we wash feet. That's literally what we do. And I love it because feet are disgusting. Yeah. Right? I hate feet. They're gross, right? And so it's great because service, what that does to me is, one, we are to look for ways to serve, but it's also not necessarily going to be a glorified thing. It's not going to be this beautiful picture. It's a washing feet at times, correct, right? We may serve and we might not get, we're not doing it to get the pat on the back. We're doing it because this is what Jesus lived out. And no matter the end response, we're looking to just give up our time and help those in need.
Correct. Right? And that's what you got to think about sometimes, right? Like, mm-hmm. I know that's probably some people's stigma with volunteering. It's like, oh, I don't want to be around those people or that, you know, that environment. And you just got to get over it, right? Because if you're feeling that way, think about how they feel, right? And they're in that situation 10 times worse than what you think it is to go help them. So, and that's what it is. You know, you got to, you know, to be first, you got to be last, right? And so, absolutely. Yeah, you got to get down there and wash the feet and, you know.
And this is in the vein, right? That verse is in the vein of those, of them arguing who's going to be the greatest, right?
Yeah.
They're arguing like, Lord, Lord, are we going to sit to the right of you? And he's like, listen, you're, as always, the disciples constantly miss this, right? You guys don't get this.
Yeah.
You don't get this.
Yeah.
To be first, you must favorite. Be last, right? You don't understand this. And so I think parents, you know, as we talk about K through second, K through fifth, really is, man, I know at a young age, you're like, how do we get our kids to grasp this? And I know Eric shared some of that. Like, a lot of that is going to start at home. I think for you, I'm big, again, on sharing your all's experience, maybe looking for ways to serve with your kids or doing things together, finding ways that they can do some practical ways. I always share about, like, just encouraging notes are great. My daughter's so great with this. That girl loves, she's just turned 7. She loves every day, dude. Every day she is writing notes to someone. I'm like, what are you doing, babe? This is for so-and-so in school. She's my friend. Everyone's her friend, right?
Yeah.
Like, she says that about everyone. Like, I just met her 2 minutes ago. She's my best friend. Like, but I love it because she's got this heart in her that just loves. So she's every day. She's taking someone. I'm like, oh, bless you. Daddy needs to learn more of that. But I kind of like that. Like, maybe it's your kids, a kindergartner, first grader, loves drawing pictures.
Yep.
Or loves writing notes. Man,
yeah.
Write a note to someone. Who's in your class that could use that? Like, tell her, Addie, who's that? Who's someone that could use that? Oh, so-and-so. Take that to them. And so a very real, I know it's maybe it's hard for us to grasp that with a kindergartner, but you can start that easily at that age of things like that. Or
I know one that I was trying to think of when I was driving over here that me and my daughter do. You know, she comes and she sees me volunteer here a lot. But another thing that we do is and this is something probably every parent does that, you know, they don't think about is annually or biannually, you probably go through your kids' clothes, right? And so you go through your clothes, and you obviously have the choice to throw them away or donate them. Well, go through your child's clothes with your child, and pick out what does not fit. And then you both take a trip to Goodwill, take a trip to the homeless shelter and drop those clothes off and explain what those clothes are doing and where they're going and that they have a second life for someone that really needs them. And that's serving right there.
That's a great idea. And I think a lot of times we think our kids are too, to have these discussions are great at a young age, right? Making them aware of there are needs everywhere around us on a daily basis. And we can do things to help to meet that need. And so that's the biggest thing, is not only just seeing a need, but let's try to do something to step out and serve that need.
Right? Yeah. And I tried to, tell the kids this past weekend, like, can you imagine if every one of you kids went and did some act of service this week. Now think about how many churches there are in Ohio. Think about how many churches there are in the U.S. and in the world. If all of us went and did one act of service this week, would we have a better world at that point, or would we have a worse world?
That's great.
And obviously they knew the answer, right? And so, if everyone just did, not, I don't want to say their little part because that sounds wrong, but if we all pitched in and served, I couldn't imagine what this world would be like.
Yeah. For sure,
oh, right? Yeah.
Absolutely. I even say that, like all that stuff we mentioned, but even with their words, I'm like, man, I tell our students, this if you went today, this week, and said, I'm going to use encouraging words all week in my hallways, in my classroom, with my teachers, my gosh.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah. Actually, that, pick your head up. So many people walk around looking at the floor. Pick up and just say hi to people. That's serving, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's great stuff. And brother, I appreciate you. That is awesome. Dude, thanks for coming on here.
No, man, thanks for having me. This is awesome.
I'm going to end on a sad note, but you all got to meet Arret, and I'm not going to shed a tear here.
Promise myself I wouldn't cry.
But Arret has been a part of, like you've heard, since 2012, and I love this dude. I've gotten to know him through service. I was in SB Kids, and we've had lunches and get-togethers, and man, I am blown away by your heart for service and you continually being here.
Thanks.
And I know it's what is it, end of March, you are heading on to new places, right?
Yep, sailing on to Florida.
Right.
So, yeah, I'll be leaving at the end of March and have to call it a day here, unfortunately.
Right. And so we'll definitely be praying for you, during that transition, because I know it's tough. I mean, that's the military life. Yeah. I give it to you guys. I don't know how I could do that, being just on to next places and being uprooted. You get used to somewhere, and it's my time to go and
somewhere else. Yeah, I've definitely, I've been in the military since 2002. Mm-hmm. And I mean, this is probably my fourth or fifth stop. But this is probably the first place that's felt like home and found a church that I love. So definitely leaving and, getting out of my niche it's going to be tough.
Yeah, for sure.
But, I say that, but in the same breath, I'm excited because I get to bring what I have to another church in Florida now.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I just get to go rock it down there.
Absolutely, going to be blessed by you. And likewise, we're going to have a hole here that we're going to miss. I know that, that's just a testament to you and your heart and how awesome you are, that our kids are going to notice that. And we're already here that, or like some volunteers know that. And even us as a staff, we're like, man, we're losing Arrett.
Yeah.
We're losing Arrett. And yes, absolutely. The blessing is you get to go and bless another church in Florida.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But, my daughter, unfortunately for me, is going to stay here with her mom, because she's military as well. So, but that just means I get to come back and see her, which then I get to make guest appearances.
Absolutely. Mr. Arrett is here. That's true. Yeah. Well, families, if you know Arrett, again, like we say, come, stop by, you pick up your kids, pat them on the back, just say thank you for all the time spent loving on your kiddos, impressing upon them, influencing them, and then just let them know that, you're praying for them in this transition. Transition is hard for everyone. But we just want to lift him up and, again, show our appreciation for you, brother. And
thanks, I appreciate it.
And we'll miss you. But
it's been a blessing. I'll miss you guys, too. Man,
for sure.
Yeah.
And thanks for coming on, dude.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It was fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fun. All right. Well, thank you, everyone. Hope for the family was beneficial for you all and gave you some things that you could think about or maybe some next steps with your kiddos. And, again, we'll be back next Wednesday talking about some new content. So thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.